The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Let's turn to a rather dramatic event in the Bible to start off with. So turn to Daniel 3. This was a very, very dramatic event for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 3, starting in verse 12, "And there were certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men, O king, have not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. Now, specifically, they looked for these men, and here they are now before the most powerful man in the world at this point in time. And they knew that he could have them killed, or he could allow them to live. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at the time that you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, it's okay, you're going to live. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" He says, have your life in the balance. And that's all there is to it. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in verse 16 answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." So even though Nebuchadnezzar had their life in his hands, or so he thought, they were ready to walk down the line because they knew what God said. So now turn to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5, they remembered this verse. "And you shall not make you any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth." Now, they didn't make the statue, but they were told to worship it. You shall not bow down yourself unto them, nor serve them, for I, Eternal, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." The second commandment is what I'm sure ran through their minds. And this commandment deals specifically with idolatry. The first commandment does as well, and so does the third commandment. But specifically, this has to do with the worshiping of idols. Now, with this idol worship, they refused. And yet we live in a time, we live in a country that is full of idolatry. And in this particular case, this time of season, takes the form of covetousness. Turn to Ephesians 5:5. See if I can get there. Ephesians 5:5. It says, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." These are pretty solemn words for us today on how bad covetousness or idolatry is. It's not something that we can slough at or ignore. And yet, because of the way our society is, it does ignore such things. And we need to be careful about ourselves on what we do. Because see, right now we're in the mainstay of commercialism, where it's based on self-desire. And of course, the best way to work yourself through most of this self and desire is to sell it with sex. I mean, who in the world would have thought you could sell a hamburger with a beautiful model? But, you know, these are the kind of things that have been built into our society and just part of everyday life. And we look at it as normal. And that can be a problem. Again, idolatry should not be part of our lives. And it cannot be ignored, especially if we identify it. In the Old Testament, the word for idol or idolatry or something similar, image, graven image, that type thing, I found 18 words, 18 different words for this concept. And I'm sure there are a few more that I missed. And so that means what God was trying to tell us is, even though in our society we may use one or a version of the one, idol, idolatry, image isn't, I mean, we have picture images. So it doesn't give the same connotation. But idol does. Any case, out of these 18 words, they have a variety of different meanings. They all have been translated idol, or idolatry, or idolater, etc. But other definitions for these words could be trouble, wickedness, image, idol, wrong worship, detestable, and horrid. These are the words that God uses for idolatry or idol, however you want to put that in your notes. So God, again, as it said in Ephesians 5:5, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Christ and God. God finds this concept serious, important, and something we need to take note of. Turn to 1 Samuel 15:23. In our Bibles, it gives us some definitions that you might not normally bring into context in reading just general Old Testament scripture, where it talks about idols and idolatry. Because, I mean, one of the things that I was looking at, especially when you're reading, God talks an awful lot about idolatry. And when you kind of look quickly at things, you don't necessarily recognize this idolatry. Because normally we don't have people bowing before idols. So it's kind of a disconnect, at least for most of us. Unless you start looking at what God is driving at. In 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." And we know what God thinks of witchcraft. So he's saying rebellion is not something that should be part of us. And then it says, "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." And then this particular verse has to do with King, oh, just slipped my brain, Saul. King Saul, it says, "Because you have rejected the word of God, he has also rejected you from being king." So stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Now turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 19. Galatians 5, starting in verse 19. "Now these are the works of the flesh, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, also as I have told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." All these things, if we practice any one of them, will keep us from inheriting God's kingdom, will keep us from God's salvation. And idolatry is specifically listed. So it's not something, again, that we can ignore. And if for some reason it's here, that means this must be something that is capable for us to do. Colossians 3, verse 5, it says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Now, here we have it again where it says covetousness is idolatry. But I also wonder if the previous part of the list is also part of it as well. I think it is. So, because in a sense what you're doing with these things is it's some form of, it's a specific type of covetousness. He says, "Because these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." So here, Paul is telling us that this is the way we once walked, and we'd better not be walking in these ways. And again, in Ephesians 5:5, what it says, "For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." These are serious. This is serious. It's not something, again, that we should take lightly. It's important to God, and it should be important to us, and we need to be able to recognize, we should be able to start recognizing some of these things. In Jeremiah 6:13, in an Old Testament scripture that gives a little bit more, gives us a little bit more flavor on idolatry. Jeremiah 6, verse 13. He says, he's talking about Israel or Judah at this point in time in verse 13. For from the least of them unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. This was the society that Jeremiah lived in. And he warned the house. He warned the house of it. He talks about the house of Israel, and he talks about Judah. And he talks specifically about Jerusalem, his fellow countrymen. And he said this about them. Turn to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14, verses 3 and 4. Starting in verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Verse 4, therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus says the Eternal God, thus says Eternal God, every man of the house of Israel that sets up idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of this iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, Eternal, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn your faces from all your abominations. These are pretty strong words. Actually, God punished Israel and Judah because of idolatry and Sabbath breaking. And Sabbath breaking is really part of idolatry as well. It's all based on not loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Society today has specific ways of doing some of these things. One, we set ourselves up, our personal selves up as God, or our leaders as God. And this can be verified in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. In fact, some of our leaders think they're God. How important is power to you? Is power more important than God? How about money? How about drugs? How about what's become known today as a form of birth control abortion? How about sex? How about things like animal rights, things that come from PETA, taking things too far? How about this thing called something we can't question, called climate change? This is all based on faith, which they call scientific understanding, which they can't even prove. And they make all the models fit the models according to what they want. Then there's communism, socialism, fascism, crony capitalism. These are all things that are part of idolatry. Religion, if you're not worshiping the true God, is idolatry. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or sos. Christ said, unless you believe in my name, you cannot be saved. There is no other. Government. Government as the end all and be all. Racism. This not liking one race over another or one type of people over another. How about your work, where that's more important than your family and God, of course. And then part of setting yourself up as God, evolution and atheism, because the world wasn't created by God. It's total rejection of God. These are all examples of forms of idolatry that we have today. There is no other explanation. You can try to ignore it, but that's what it is. Some people may disagree with me. There is no particular scripture that says this is idolatry, but look at what the teachings are based on. They're not based on godly principles. And if they're not based on godly principles, then it can't be proper. Turn to Romans 2:22. Romans. There we go. It says, You that say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that abhor idols, do you commit sacrilege? You that make a boast of the law through breaking the law dishonors God. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Now, he was talking specifically to his people, or even to God's people. If we believe God and we don't do what he says, we're dishonoring God. We're not setting a right example. The Bible gives us the way of life, the way we should be, how we should live. And if we're not doing it, then we are committing idolatry. Now, to sum this up, turn to Genesis 3. Turn to Genesis 3. Almost 7,000 years ago, after God created the earth and put man and woman on the earth, and they were placed in a beautiful garden, and God left them alone, and they were in this garden. And in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, start in verse 1. See the story. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yes, has God said unto you that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be gods, knowing good and evil. So here the serpent twisted, lied, convinced, and we know the rest of the story. So what happened? Well, at that point in time, they decided they were going to be God. They broke the first three commandments. So, the world has been set up on idolatry ever since. That's the system the world runs on. That's the system we've been called out of. That's the system that we and God's way is diametrically opposite of. So, this is fairly straight down the line and fairly specific. The world isn't where we want to be, and it doesn't mean that we don't want to be breathing, we don't want to have cars, we don't want to be able to give our children good things. The Bible tells us, the Bible gives us specific instructions on what is sin and what isn't sin. Now, we have to be smart and use God's Holy Spirit to read His Word to know these things and to put these things into practice. And when we find out that we've fallen into idolatry, we need to remove ourselves from it. In Daniel 3, Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king, but if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which has been set up. We have to have the same approach and take this tact in our lives.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.